Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, page 1167. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Just to say, on Wednesday, Amuta flies out to India to look after her auntie, who's broken her leg. So you're going to be carrying her around in a piggyback style, so she can get on. And she'll be away for two Sundays. And I thought it would be good we could pray one Sunday. So she's going right until the end of the following week, then on the Friday. So let's pray at this time. Lord, we do pray for Amuta as she goes and looks after her aunt. Lord, pray for the healing of her aunt's leg, that it will knit together well, and that she will be able to have no ill effects from it in the future. Lord, give Amuta a safe journey there and a safe journey back. Lord, we lift her up in your name. Amen. Amen. While I was away, not last week, but the week before, I went to a conference, and we had some international speakers, and they were sort of going like this, and then they'd be over here, and then they start to shout. Well, I can tell you, I'm not going to do that this morning, because that's not me. We had one of them, he was a lovely man, and he was from California, and he was expecting us to sort of whoop and cheer at sort of every word. And he was white. He wasn't a black preacher, you may think. But, of course, we were a very British congregation. So we sort of sat there and looked at him. And he got most upset all the way through. He kept saying, you're having that look again. So if I see that look, I know you're listening. So but if you want to whoop and cheer, feel free. But I won't be offended if you don't. But one of the things about today is, I hope you are excited still about our verse for the year. Celebrate God all day, every day. Revel in Him. Even through the knocks of life, the dark times we have, we're still called on to celebrate God all day, every day. It was actually in the reading that Joan brought to us not that long ago. Did you all spot it? Actually, I didn't spot it the first time either. It's sort of hidden. It's in the very beginning of verse 11. Beginning of verse 11, and it says, finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. So where's the rejoice in the Lord? Celebrate God. Well, it's actually the same word, that word goodbye, that occurs in Philippians 4 verse 4, that we are have. So you could translate it, finally, brothers and sisters, celebrate. Because there are quite a few ways of actually saying goodbye. And I'm going to conduct an experiment, one of my experiments now. What I want you to do, when I get 1, 2, 3 go, on the word go, all shout out goodbye in your native tongue. or what you might say to somebody as you were leaving them. You might not say goodbye. You might say, after, ready? One, two, three, go. Right. Great. I nearly understood some of that. But we have, just take English, you know, our common language. We have various ways of saying goodbye. If you're formal, you might say goodbye or farewell or have a good day. Although I always think that's come across the pond. You know, have a good day, have a nice day. If we're a bit casual, we might say, catch you later. Or these are more slangy. You might have peace, or I'm out of here. You know, in our family, we used to say, love you and leave you. And I still find myself saying that at times, or be seeing you. We can just use the word bye. And what do we often say to a baby? Or toddler who's just learning to talk?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Why do we always repeat everything twice to children? I never worked that one out. But, you know, and then we have see you later, talk to you later. So long. There's even, I've got one of these, you know, the new Amazon Electra thingies. And I say to her, I can say to her, see you later, alligator, and she comes back with... She does. You could have been a lecturer in my house. But we also get to use, of course, some words that aren't English. Adios. You might want to put on amigos onto that. We have au revoir, which actually interesting is French for when we meet, when we see again. So it's actually not the... And we go Japanese. Sayonara. Goodbye. But the one I really like, that's only come in since about 1984. I'll be back. Arnie Schwarzenegger as the Terminator. But all those have a word goodbye. And in a way, that's what's encapsulated in the word that is written here. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Or finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, celebrate. It's what he calls on them to do. Paul has actually said some hard things in this second letter to the church of God at Corinth. He said some hard things in the first letter, but he's also said some hard things in the second letter. Sadly, what has been happening is people have been telling lies about him, and others have been believing those lies. There are groups within the church who have actually joined with other people. Going back to the first letter, we have my friends, some from Chloe's household, who informed me that there were quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Peter, or sorry, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, or Peter, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? They openly would believe the worst of Paul, some of the groups, because they weren't in his group, they weren't in his gang. On this Mothering Sunday, you know, we have at least, most households, you have at least one person who always likes you. That's your mum. I remember when I got my A-level results, they weren't quite as good as we expected because I was basically lazy, that was my problem, and didn't get, but my mum, she didn't come down on me like a ton of bricks because I did get into university, and but she didn't sort of rave about it. But I heard from other people that my mum said, oh, my son's got into university, he's got all these A-levels, I'm so proud of him. She never told me that, but she told other people. But that's what mums do, don't they? On, you know, think about that on Mothering Sunday. Paul had said hard things to the Corinthian Christians about their behaviour, about their attitudes, about what they were, the lies they were spreading about him, saying he wasn't an apostle. And so, but even at the end of the letter, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. And then goes on to add this list. It says, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Although that can be thought of and translated as the words, be encouraged. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Why? So that the God of love and peace will be with you. A relationship. We always have to think of us and God as a relationship, not of us keeping a list of rules. We had that with the story of Eli and the others. When you get to my age, the names just go. Remember, he tried to do so much and get it right, but he got it wrong. He couldn't get it right. We can never follow the rules, but we can have the relationship, which lead on, in a way, to those things. There is the aim for perfection. I should move that in a minute. Aim for perfection. That can be thought of, that word can be thought of things like repair, restore, fit for life, mature. But actually what happens is, when I hear a verse like that, my mind automatically goes to what Paul writes to Timothy. When he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. It's easy to say, oh yes, let's just aim for perfection, but I can never reach it. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Hands up those who believe they're sinners. Hands up those who believe they're saints. That's interesting, isn't it? We got no saints. Oh, we got a couple of saints. Thank you, Tim. That's three of us. Because actually, if you go to the start of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Arcadia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Jesus Christ. I am looking at a bunch of saints. And we need to know that. It's too easy for us to, in a way, downgrade ourselves and think, well, I'm a sinner. We can't be the worst. Paul's already bagged that place, because that's what he says. But we are saints. Paul would say, I am a saint. When they would go against him as an apostle, he said, no, I have been appointed by Christ as an apostle. So Paul says that. He says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Why? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us as to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. If we ever come out with the phrase, oh, I just do this because that's who I am, and excusing bad things that we do, that means we're denying this verse. When we're Christians, we are a new creation, a new creature in Christ, a new creation. And with that relationship we have with God, we can therefore begin to go for that aiming for perfection, to revel in him, to wallow in him, not ourselves. We deepen that relationship two easy ways. One is to read God's word. Or, in this day and age, you put it on your iPod, your MP3 player, whatever, get the headphones, put them on your ears and go off to work. Because there are so many people on the tube with headphones on, nobody knows what you're listening to. So you're listening to a Bible, they're assuming you're listening to music. I always listen to the radio, so a talk radio, so that's where I'm walking with a headphone on. And we can hear it. You don't have to read it. And we can talk with God. Notice, with God, not at God or to God, but with God. Have a conversation. Leave gaps of quiet when you pray. God can talk to you. I often find when I'm praying with God, he then replies and talks to me. That perfection will increase. As another verse says from Corinthians, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the King James Version. It's this idea of being changed, some people say, from one degree of glory into another. That deepening relationship. And in that relationship, God, though, may have to say hard things to us, but not all the time. You know, his appeal is for us to be encouraged. To be encouraged. I'm always sad when I hear people talk about God as if God is a big ogre, waiting for us to fail, and he's going to come down on me like a ton of bricks. But God's not like that. Jesus, when he was on earth, went, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." We've sung this morning, "It is well with my soul." Why? Because we follow Jesus. Because the burden he gives us is light, he's gentle, and he's humble with it. He's not wanting us to fail. The relationship with him means that he wants us to have a life, a relationship with him. The God of all comfort. He waits there. Always for us. Sometimes in our Christian lives, we turn our backs on God. You can read in the Old Testament, some of the prophets, they did turn their back on God for a while, but they couldn't live without God. But God doesn't walk off in a huff like we do. With God, what he sees as we turn and we return, the Bible would say, in our right mind, while we are still a long way off, our Father sees us and is filled with compassion for us. He runs to his own, throws his arms around us, and kisses us. Imagine that. Creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, hugging and kissing us. But that's what we realise when we come to God. But also, if we are in that relationship, knowing the God of all love and all peace, we can't really then be divided. So Paul is mindful of their divisions, or possible divisions. But people often say, well, does that mean we all have to be uniform? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, in the 12 and a half years I've been here, I think I've worn a suit probably on a Sunday. You can count on the thumbs of one hand. Because I just don't wear suits in church. Why? It's not because I'm against suits. It's because normally they're too hot. And I sort of become too hot in a jacket and a tie. Wore the tie for many years, but get away with age now. Forget to put it on. But wear this. You know, other people wear jacket. Others wear t-shirt and jeans, cut off, shorn, whatever. We're all different in that way. But of course, there's one person who shows us how to be of one mind in with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus. It is written about him. Our attitude should be that the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Humility. Not thinking more of myself above others. Doesn't mean to say I don't love me, because Jesus says, love your neighbour as yourself. So how can you love your neighbour if you don't love yourself? So that humility means I don't think of myself in a way any worse than others. Certainly not over them. And then it goes on, the passage from Philippians. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and death on the cross. Being prepared to lay one's life down for another. It's a very difficult thing to do, and something we may not even know until we get there. Heard a story while I was away at the conference of it was in church, from the vicar of Baghdad. And all around him, of course, there'd been demolitions of buildings and everything. And he told the story of a mother. He got a phone call from a dad, a husband, and he said, will God ever forgive us? And he said, why? What do you mean? He said, well, what happened was some rebels from ISIS came into our house, put guns to our heads and says, will you say that Muhammad is the only prophet and Allah is the only God? Otherwise we will shoot your children. And they had five children. And he said, we did. Will God ever forgive us? And the vicar of Baghdad said, I don't know what I would do in that situation. Story goes on, the ISIS people found five children out in the street in another place. And they said to the children, they said, do you follow Muhammad and Allah? And they went, no, we follow Jesus. Jesus who died on the cross for us. And they said, well, if you don't say you follow Allah and Muhammad, we're going to shoot you. While I was listening to this, I was hoping, please, Lord, a good end. Sadly, all five children were shot for standing up for Jesus. They were prepared to die. I don't know what I would do in the situation of the parents or the children. But that's what Jesus did for us. But then it continues. Therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We too have been honoured. We have a place in heaven. We are called to bring heaven to earth. That's the way we're honoured. We don't have to earn ourselves. Anybody get a visit yesterday? Yesterday morning from the Jehovah's Witnesses? They must target you and me, Ranjini. But all they did was they just invited me to go along to their Kingdom Hall. Yeah, so you didn't get the hard sell that you used to get. They even got softer and softer. But they're trying to earn their way to heaven. Why? How? By bringing people from earth to heaven. We have to learn that we have to bring heaven. We are in heaven. We're promised there to bring that to earth, to those around us. But we should be of this one mind, the mind and attitude of Christ. But it's also part of our Baptist ecclesiology. That's a posh word. It's just a posh way of saying how we do church. Right? Anything ecclesi is church, and ology is the study of. So it's a study of church. Right? Remember the advert, you're an ology, you're a scientist. But we have members' meetings every month, or every other month. They're part of our worship. We see them. But we do make decisions. But what we want the decisions to be are from God. The decisions are what we say as the mind of Christ, is a technical term, for the church, the way forward for the church. And that's why we have members' meetings, to find that mind of Christ. But at the same time as we meet and we pray about things and we discuss things, we do vote on them because we haven't found a better method from doing all those things. But another part of our Baptist then ecclesiology, the way we do church, is something called collective responsibility. It may be that a particular issue has come up and I personally don't agree with the decision that's been made. But what collective responsibility says for a Baptist, I still have to support it and I still work as if I support it. I don't go off and do my own thing. Some people use the fact that we're what's known as nonconformist. That means I can do anything. That's anarchy. Paul realised there would be differences of opinion on things when he wrote. But he talked about on the important things, we're together. The important things, we are of one mind, but we follow what the church, we're autonomous as a Baptist church, means that we have our own finances, our own governmental system as a church here. We all follow the issue that has been found at a members' meeting because we feel that's the mind of Christ for the church. And in doing that, it says the God of love and peace will be with you. And also that means, hopefully, that we will live in peace together. We will live in peace. Although the word here probably is wanting to have that Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom. And it's not just meaning, yeah, it means peace, but not just a cessation of war or conflict. You know, we get children at preschool. And sometimes, you know, you have a conversation with the parents and they say, oh, our child, they're very difficult. Keep the peace, we just give in to them. So, of course, when they come now and Gloria hears this, she says, well, it's not going to happen in this preschool when I'm here. No, we don't give in, do we, Gloria? She's thinking of all the children, she's some parents, she said that to her. But, you know, because you know that you may have peace temporarily now, but in years to come, there's no peace. So shalom actually is talking about well-being. It's talking about, you know, peaceful interior. Somebody put it like this. Most of us know the Hebrew word shalom is understood around the world to mean peace. However, peace is only a small part of that meaning of the word shalom. And it's used to both greet people and to bid them farewell. So you could have said shalom to me. It means more than peace, hello, or goodbye. Shalom is more than just simply peace. It means complete peace, feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. We, as we bring heaven down to earth, we're called to bring shalom to those around us, not to divide. We are called along to help shalom of others, the well-being of others, to build them up, not ignoring them. In the first letter to the Church of God in Corinth, we read, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So that we can help each others. So that we can help each other. That's why we give them gifts from God. Live in peace with one another. Doesn't mean, though, we may not have to say hard things to one another. You know, with our children, we sometimes have to say hard things. But not because we don't love them, but because we know for their future well-being is better. But if you do have to, say it only to the person concerned and not to others. Say it to the person calmly and say it to the person in private. And then, when we've done all that, the God of love and peace will be with us. Or perhaps God's with us, and then we do all that. It's always never sure which way round it is. Today is Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day. Although apparently on the news this morning I hear we're turning it into a non-binary, you know, non-gender, whatever day you want it to be. But I think that may have been, if it was April the 1st, I would believe it more. But because we've already got a Father's Day, which has only come in recently, and we'll probably have another few days to add on. Mother's Day originally was a day when a servant got a day off to visit their mother. That was Mothering Sunday. And that was what started it. That day could be a day of love and peace for that person. We follow a God who wants us to love. And He loves us. We follow a God who wants us to find shalom. In Romans, we find these words, may the God of hope fill you, fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That God of hope and peace, that God of love. We can have that shalom. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, that God. But through God the Father and God the Son. If we look at them, they live in perfect harmony, perfect love, perfect peace. And that's what they want for us. As we let God in more and more, we will know His love, we will know His shalom. And in knowing Him, we will then overflow to those around us. They will see God. They will see His love. They will see His shalom in us, in our interactions with each other and also with them.